G.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. We've heard about it in the news. We've heard the horror stories about it. But today we're going to have a conversation about vaping. Isn't a healthy alternative to cigarettes? You know, there was a story the other day that a young man had to have a double lung transplant. So we have a lot of people who are maybe ingesting some substances with the vaping that maybe not know exactly what they are. But our guest today is Ms. Katie Brake, and she's with the Jackson County Health Department, and we're going to have a conversation about vaping. Good morning, Katie. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So can you briefly tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I work with the Jackson County Health Department. I'm a policy analyst, so I look at different policies at the local level, also at the state level, how they impact public health, and try and make recommendations to policymakers, decision makers, and so tobacco and vaping policy is something that we're looking at right now.
So how long have you worked for the health department?
Almost 3 years.
Okay. So as an analyst looking at tobacco and vaping policy, what is Jackson County or the current vaping policy for this area?
It's not as robust as other places, but there are municipalities where they have Clean Indoor Air Acts, and that restricts smoking in those areas. And many cities are now looking to include vape products in those acts. We also have Tobacco 21, which raises the minimum purchasing age of cigarettes to 21. So that's in Kansas City and parts of Jackson County as well.
For those that may not know, the policy in Kansas City, Missouri, and for the state of Missouri is that anybody 18 or older can buy tobacco products, and the same thing in Kansas is 18 or older. So would it be benefits if we look at having that discussion that both sides, Missouri side and the Kansas side, both raise the age to 21 to prevent people, well, I can't buy them in Missouri, but I can go over and buy them in Kansas, or I can't buy them in Kansas, but I can go across the border and buy them in Missouri?
Yeah, I think this is something that's becoming more of a regional undertaking, and again, cities are trying to come together, counties are trying to come together so that we're all matching and able to have the same policies and environments that people can make healthier choices. So I think Kansas is making some headway, and Missouri in some places is as well, and we can learn from each other.
The use of electronic cigarettes or e-cigarettes is on the rise among adults and teenagers, and we see a lot in the news about vaping, as I was saying earlier. Young people are using e-cigarettes at an increasing alarming rate. Between the years 2011 and 2015, the U.S. Surgeon General found that use of e-cigarettes among high school students increased by 900%, with more teens using e-cigarettes than conventional cigarettes. Katie, we used to have to worry about our students trying to steal mom and dad's cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
Now we have the vaping, which is a whole total different animal, and a lot of parents who may not be familiar with that. So what is a parent to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's about becoming as educated as you can about what e-cigarettes and vapes are. I think that's a big barrier. I've talked to a young woman before that said she knew parents that actually bought their children vapes thinking that it was safer for them than smoking cigarettes, and that's just not the case, and we don't know it to be the case. So, again, just being educated about what they are, what the different brands are, and then having an open conversation with their kids about it and just discussing what their thoughts are and what your thoughts are, and that you really are looking out for their best interests.
Well, as we think about vapes, let's go back a little bit. Is vaping the same as e-cigarettes?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what is, so for those that may not know, what is the process of vaping? What do you need to do? With a cigarette, we know you just pull the cigarette out, out the pack, take a match or a lighter, light it up, and you start to puff and inhale.
Yeah.
What is the vaping process?
Right. So when you vape, and it kind of depends. There's different types of e-cigarettes and vapes, but you can, like, press a button, and that activates the battery or the heating element. And the e-liquid that's in the e-cigarette, that aerosolizes in the that heating element, and that is the vape, or really it's an aerosol that comes out when you inhale it. So, yeah, you just basically press a button, inhale the heated liquid that has become aerosolized, and breathe it out.
But we're heating up a liquid from a cold vaping unit.
The gag.
But it goes, now we heat it up, and then it goes into the body where that particular liquid can then cool down. We hear a lot about the injuries to the lungs, coughing, different things. Can that play a part in that?
Yeah, so when you breathe in the aerosolized e-juice, that, again, it's not a vapor. I think that's the biggest misconception, is that people think it's water vapor, but it's not. At the health department, we like to use the example of like a spray bottle of water. When you spray it, that's water vapor. But like a can of hairspray, that's an aerosol. So that's essentially what you're breathing in, is that aerosol can of hairspray. So, right, and those particles then go into your lungs, and our lungs are just not really designed to handle that. It can cover up those air sacs that we need to help us exchange our oxygen. So we're just, again, not meant to inhale those things.
And I know some of the things that are in the vape units, the things that they may put in skin lotion, but just because it's safe to put on your skin doesn't mean that it's safe for you to inhale it.
Yeah, exactly. It can, like that vitamin E acetate, it can coat the lung. So, yeah, that's in all sorts of products, but we don't know how it impacts the lungs.
But we've had, people been smoking since before Christ, and we've had thousands of years to kind of see what the health concerns on health risks are. While vaping is kind of new to the scene, so, and we're seeing a lot of rash right now in those that are young people whose lives are just barely starting.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're barely starting in some situations with a young man who just had the double lung transplant. You know, I read about another family, the young man, he just passed out because he couldn't breathe. So how is this going to impact the quality of life for a lot of our teenagers who are out there vaping and thinking it's safer than actual cigarettes?
Right, right. So for youth, I think there is that component of addiction with the, because e-cigarettes contain nicotine as well. And nicotine, it impacts youth because we're at that age, you're still developing. So it can change your brain chemistry, your development, your mood, your ability to concentrate in school. So those can have long-term impacts. And then there's also just the short acute symptoms of having cardiovascular issues from nicotine. So, yeah, lifelong addiction to nicotine can end up with a whole host of negative health effects.
And I know that some people, as you were saying, are young people, the brain does not really fully continue to fully finish developing until you run around 25.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have young people who are 12, 13, 14 years old who are vaping and introducing that nicotine into their bodies. It's easier, from what I've read, it's easier to get addicted, and it takes a lesser amount at that age. Mm-hmm. But it also starts to begin long-term cravings from the body for that.
Right, yeah. And there has been some studies showing that youth that start vaping, e-cigarettes, they also could possibly start smoking cigarettes as well to get more of that nicotine. So it can have the potential to make you addicted to other substances.
So a lot of people think that vaping is safer than cigarettes. Is that actually true? Or is that a myth?
Well, it has... E-cigarettes have the potential to expose you to less chemicals. Traditional cigarettes have upwards of 7,000 chemicals in them, which is just crazy. But e-cigarettes, fewer chemicals, but again, we just don't know all of what's in them. So you'll see ingredients that say flavorings and additives, and it's like, what are those things? What does that even mean? And like we were saying earlier, there are some like the oils or like glycerine that is in e-cigarette juices that are in other products. But again, we don't know what that does when you inhale them rather than ingest or put them on your skin.
The American Lung Association has warned that e-cigarettes are not safe and can cause irreversible lung damage and disease. And I think we're kind of seeing that right now play out across the nation with a lot of people who are coming up with the health concerns that they're having. So as we talk about e-cigarettes and vaping, what are things that people really need to know?
Again, it's just about getting yourself familiar with what we do know is that it can cause these vaping-related injuries. And we've seen the impacts to people's lungs that can affect their ability to breathe. So it's just something, it's a consideration that people have to make of whether or not it's worth it.
And I know that research has shown that e-cigarette aerosol often contains substances that can be harmful. One of these substances is, if I can pronounce it right, diacetyl, a buttery flavoring used in popcorn, caramel, and dairy products. If a person eats diacetyl, it's safe. However, when workers at Microwave Popcorn Factory became ill, it was discovered that inhaling diacetyl causes bronchiolitis obliterans, otherwise known as popcorn lung. So that's kind of what sounds similar to what a lot of the people who are vaping and their lungs being coated in the vitamin E oil. So, also a 2015 study from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention showed that 58.8% of people who were using e-cigarettes were doing so in combination of regular cigarettes. So, now you have a double whammy. You're lighting up. So, you're basically giving to your lungs both barrels.
Right. So, I think, and this has probably been the case for many, many people, is that they have stopped smoking cigarettes by using e-cigarettes, and they're trying to reduce the harm that they're doing to their bodies. But what we're seeing is that the majority of adults that do smoke or use e-cigarettes are also using tobacco products. So we're not really seeing that full impact of this is a safe alternative that is working. It just seems to be something that most people continue to use tobacco products.
Well, when we look at, when you go to the store and you buy a pack of cigarettes, you get a standard amount of nicotine, all the other 7,000 chemicals and everything else. So, but if, when you go to buy a container of oil, if you mix your own, I've went into the stores and looked at it, you can have low levels of nicotine, medium levels of nicotine, or high levels of nicotine. So it's a lot different than what a cigarette is, because in a cigarette, it's standardized. But if you start vaping, you can put more into your body than you would get from smoking an average cigarette.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like we were talking about earlier, those pods that have the nicotine in them, those are equivalent to a whole pack of nicotine with cigarettes. So it's just, it's an immense amount of nicotine that people are able to consume in a kind of fun, easy way, right, with the e-cigarettes. So.
And I know that people may think that it's, I mean, I have people on my block who vape, and I can sit and watch them walk down the street with their vape units. But then you see them coughing and having this really bad cough that I know when I would see them smoke cigarettes, they didn't have that cough, but now they have that same cough. And it can, I mean, I can be going in the house and I can hear my house or two away coughing. You know, are those some of the side effects of vaping?
Yeah, so again, it's those different elements that are in the e-liquid. Like if there is that oil, our bodies just aren't equipped to process that. So yeah, the lungs are really trying to get rid of that. And that's where you get that inflammation of the lungs and some of that injury there as well.
And I know that one of the things we look at that a lot of people, you don't, when you're vaping, some of that oil gets into your lungs. It's not all aerosolized as they say it is. Is there a way to prevent that, or is that just part of the process?
I think it's just part of the process of that, yeah, that aerosolized, those particles going into your lungs. You can't really avoid it.
So more than 2,000 people in the United States have developed serious lung damage in a outbreak associated to using the vaping devices, and at least 39 people this year have died from the condition. The Center for Disease Control has linked the illness to the vitamin E acetate, and many of those harm were smoking THC in vaping units, which is essentially what marijuana is made from, the THC. Should those who vape use vaping materials not approved by the health departments or the CDC?
Yeah, I mean, right now nothing's approved. Yeah, there's no regulation from the FDA on these products. They've had this sort of interesting journey of becoming available in the U.S. and being put on the market. And they are supposed to, actually by May of 2020, the e-cigarette companies are supposed to show that these products do have health benefits that outweigh the risks, and if they're not able to comply with that, they will be taken off the market. But until that time, they've been unregulated, so none of the products are things that the FDA has regulated.
As marketing is a very powerful tool, and it's something, you know, you want to know how powerful it is. You put a three-year-old in front of the TV, and then McDonald's commercial comes on, and they always the Golden Arches. And they will be able to, you can drive down the street, and they can be able to point out McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, all the different things because of how we're marketing. With the company's marketing flavors like cotton candy, you know, vanilla spice, you know, chocolate flavor, all these different things. Is this an industry that's essentially marketing to children to get them hooked? Because they look at the long term. If I can get you hooked when you're 12 on vaping, then you're going to be a consumer or customer for the rest of your life.
I mean, that is an argument that people have been making, especially against the company Juul. They had different flavors of mint and I think fruit medley. There was... I'm trying to remember. There's many others and other e-cigarette companies that, again, have all those different types of flavors, Sour Patch Kids, cotton candy, like you were saying. And so that's one of the things that we have seen that does get youth interested in smoking or using e-cigarettes. And also the social media campaigns. Juul had, you know, some pretty cool, fancy-looking ads where it was young people using these vapes. You also look at the way the product is designed. It's very sleek-looking and has that sort of new tech vibe to it. So,
I know they have entered into an agreement with the government where they won't do any more marketing. Well, but it's kind of like the chicken is already out of the hen house. And the fox is on the way. Is that going to work at this point for a situation where you've already created demand,
right,
and you've already gotten them hooked?
Yeah, that is, it's a concern. I think people are worried about a potential ban on all e-cigarettes, things like that, and which is understandable because so many people now are addicted. So I think that's something that we all need to think about if we are looking at getting rid of this product or trying to restrict it in some way. How can we help the people that have already become addicted?
And I know one thing with that is, when the government decides to ban something, they then turn around and it's not available. But then there becomes that black market for that product. And you, before, at least you knew what was in the product that you were banned. You know, it's kind of like when we went through Prohibition, they turned off alcohol. And then what did people do? They made their own alcohol, but in some cases people died. So if they turn around and get rid of vaping and people go to other means, is that going to be, that could be more harmful than it could be helpful at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing that with Juul, too, because they've been self-policing and taking off their own products with mint and other flavors. And so to fill that void, other producers come in, and we, again, yeah, we don't know what they are making. And it's, yeah, it's something that we need to consider.
Something that parents may want to know, but also for those who vape, one of the articles I read, a young man said he was doing an entire pod of a juice a day. Doing a pod of juice a day is the equivalent to smoking a pack of cigarettes per day. So if you're doing a pod a day over 7 days, you are doing seven packs, you're smoking seven packs of cigarettes in a week.
Yeah.
So that's kind of something, just kind of a, that was kind of an eye-opener to say, you know, wow, something that we may have to look at. So are e-cigarettes just as addictive as regular cigarettes?
It kind of depends. We've been hearing from kids that they are extremely addictive for them. They feel like they need to get up in the morning and the first thing they do is take a puff of their vape. And it just seems like for youth especially, more and more, they're becoming like they need it on the hour.
What are some of the health concerns and problems that can, we've talked about the popcorn lung syndrome and the, you know, breathing, difficulty breathing, everything. What are some of the other things that, health concerns that can come as a result of vaping?
Yeah, so when we're looking at the vaping illness and what we've been seeing are the signs and symptoms of that, it can be things like, again, that cough, shortness of breath, chest pain, sometimes even nausea and vomiting. People can get the chills, fever, things like that. So, again, those are symptoms that have we've been seeing with this particular illness.
Okay. So those are the, so the same kind of, can almost mimic, say, having a cold or the flu, shortness of breath, you know, tightness and wheezing. So those, some of those same issues that you may have. When, at what point should a person who is vaping begin to seek medical treatment or attention if they're coming down some of those symptoms?
I would say right away. I think that, yeah, it could be a possibility that your lungs have experienced some type of injury and that you need to get checked out.
Okay. So we're, as we've said, this, vaping is tremendously popular among teens. What are some of the signs and symptoms that parents may need to be on the lookout for that the, may tell them their child is vaping and they don't know that?
Yeah, well, oh, one of the things, and this is kind of new, some of the products that have hit the market that are in relation to vaping, we've got like hoodies that you can hide your vapes in, pens that are actually vapes. So it's almost to kind of looking and seeing, like, what are the kids buying? Are they buying something that might look a little like a vape? You know, that's one of the new things that we've seen.
We've got a call on line one. David, can you tell us what part of town you're calling from and what your question or comment is about vaping?
I'm calling from Northern Overland Park.
And what's your comment
and
question?
I was so happy to see the war on drugs have to take a back seat to real science in terms of cannabis. When I was a young person, we were waiting for the horrible deaths of millions from cannabis. because everyone said, well, this is going to be just like cigarettes. It's going to be just like tobacco, where millions die every year from the tobacco, right? No one's talking about that today, are they? But it never happened. People didn't die from cannabis. But now we see a huge effort. You know, there's been a lot of stories, very short on detail. They're written in terms of connections. There's a connection between this and that. Well, what does that mean, right? So vaping, dabbing, they're under attack. You guys know better than anyone that there's a huge constituency for the war on drugs. The various police departments and do-gooders want to have a war on drugs because that's how they make a living. And I feel like right now, you know, you're certainly well motivated, but when you say someone is using the equivalent of a pack of cigarettes while they're vaping, you forget the most important thing. They're not smoking tobacco, and they won't die from smoking tobacco. If one out of, say, 10,000 people have a vaping problem, how many thousand out of 10,000 end up dying from the tobacco? No one's talking about that. I think these stories did not just come out of nowhere. I think if you know, there's a story about someone getting a double lung transplant from vaping or something. But you don't have their name. You don't know what their medical history was. Did they really lose two lungs from vaping? I sort of doubt it. But the tobacco industry is screaming. You know, they were able to say, well, we get to continue to kill millions of people a year if we just pay states enough money. But now we're also concerned about the people vaping and maybe using the same amount of nicotine they would in a pack of cigarettes, but they'll never die from it unless they're, you know, unless we believe these stories, which, you know, I've never seen anyone drill down to any of these stories or any of these cases. No patient chart. CDC finally said, well, this was vitamin E. So the story should be about vitamin E, not vaping, right? If vitamin E or a contaminant is making people sick, that's what they should be talking about. But it's a subtle corporate campaign by the tobacco industry to fight the fact that, you know, millions of people are not smoking their tobacco anymore, not chewing it, and they don't want a pipe of tobacco either, but they're vaping. And yes, maybe someone had a bad incident, but it would be like 1 out of 1,000 compared to the tobacco.
Okay, David, thank you so much for your comments.
And Thanks for listening. And remember, drill down to the medical expertise. If there's no published journal article, you should be skeptical. Thank you.
So what are your comments or questions? What are your comments to that, Katie, about some of the things that he's saying?
Right. So I think he makes a good point about we don't want to forget about big tobacco here. They still are quite the threat. And anyone that thinks that I'll continue to smoke as a safer form of not using e-cigarettes, don't do that. Please don't. Yeah. Don't go back to smoking cigarettes. So I think that's a great point. But I will say with the young man that had the double lung transplant, that was, you know, he had started vaping and to a point where he so severely injured his lungs that he ended up having to have that transplant. So we can see that is the issue that came about from that.
And I read the article and he was saying that his dad said there'll be no more vaping, and then all of his friends were the ones, they also threw away their vaping units because they said, you know, they got to see firsthand from somebody that they knew what had happened to, and they were able to attribute it to, you know, essentially the popcorn lung, and he'd been vaping that long. So we've got another caller, Freddie, on line two. Freddie, can you tell us what your question or comment is and what part of town you're calling from?
Yes, sir. I'm in Lee Summit right now.
Okay.
And my comment is, you know, is you know, I'm an old school guy. And as children, sometimes we make the wrong mistakes. And growing up, we have a tendency to, you know, be experimental in the things that we do. You know, even though sometimes we know that they're wrong and our parents have told us that those things are wrong. But people got to realize, you know, those that are out there trying to make money are going to do all they can to make money, and they don't care really and truly anything about our health or anything else other than the money that they can get out of us. This vaping thing came up, whereas they can cater to those that want some new thing and some flavored type of smoke. And I guess that people think that that's cool. But they got to realize that those people that are making money, like I said, they are putting different chemicals, and we shouldn't be smoking, period. If you want to, if you don't want to smoke, don't go from cigarettes to vaping, or just go to vaping. Stop smoking. You know, have the wherewithal or the backbone to say, hey, this is good for my health. I want to be around for my family, my children. You know, I don't want to be an example to show the kids that the adults that are smoking are being a bad example for the kids, and they see the adults doing it, so they do it. You know, so it's just a thing of being responsible and accountable for the things that we do. And it's sometimes if we make the wrong choice, then be man or woman enough to accept that and pay the cost to be the boss.
Thank you so much, Freddie, for those comments. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. That was awesome to hear that. I think that's just the best practice right there. Just if you're a young kid, don't even start. And if you're trying to quit smoking, maybe look at other alternatives that you know are going to be safe.
So we're going to take a short break. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And today we're having a discussion about vaping. You know, is it really a safe alternative to cigarettes? We'll be right back after this short break. And we're back. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And today we're talking about vaping with Miss Katie Brake, who's with Jackson County Health Department. So we've had a couple of callers call in, Katie. And I want to get to this before we get some more. Signs that your child may be vaping are increased thirst. Vaping is hygroscopic, meaning that the process of vaping removes hydration from the mouth and skin and throat. This leaves the users with a dry, flat palate. As a natural consequence, the body craves liquids to combat that. So you may see your child drinking a lot more, but you know, may not concern that because that's also a health condition for your child, may have diabetes. So one of those things you have to look at. So also nosebleeds, vaping dries the mouth, just like it dries the mouth and the skin of the nose, and people will definitely get nosebleeds. Acne, vaping can affect the surrounding skin, so if your teen is having bad outbreaks of acne or otherwise controlled skin, this may be a clue. They stop cutting back on caffeine because vaping gives them caffeine. If they have too much caffeine in, they get the jitters with that. Pneumonia. And research suggested outside of problems with nicotine exposure, nanoparticles present in e-cig vapor that can cause inflammation in the lungs. So when the lungs get inflamed, it can lead to pockets of bacterial infection and cause pneumonia. Last one, finding unfamiliar USB drives, battery chargers, or spare parts. E-cigs do have parts and cartridges that need to be exchanged and replaced. Commonly, these parts are spare wires, cotton balls, and small containers of the pods that contain e-juice. So if your teen is carrying an unfamiliar high-tech looking device, are there other interesting items in a trash bin? Maybe a question you want to ask. So we have a caller on line two. Caller, can you tell us your name and what part of town you're calling from, what your question or comment is? So let's try that again. I think we lost you. If you can give us a call back, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So those things that they're making them more high tech now. So those things the parents should be on the lookout for.
Yeah, like we were talking about earlier, actually, I was in a meeting with a woman from the American Heart Association, and she had so coyly had been using this pen throughout the meeting, and then at the very end, she pulled it out and said, oh, by the way, this is a vape, and none of us had even known, so it's just kind of an interesting take on how the product has changed.
We've got a call on line two. Carlo, are you there?
Hey, Joseph, it's Leslie Cardo from Truman Medical Centers. How are you?
Yes. Go ahead. So what's your question or comment, Leslie?
Hey, so great show. Thank you. Katie, great job. I just wanted to say I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a little plug from the American Lung Association, because we're talking about people, right, who may have been smoking and then think that they're making a healthy jump to e-cigarettes. But I just wanted to give a little plug for their November kind of push, which is Safe by the Scan. So it's aimed at people who have been smoking for a while, right? And the idea is that there is, it's not just Truman, it's any medical provider. They have a new low-dose CT scan. So it's a couple, they put you in a little machine, they do a couple pictures of your lungs. And the idea is that the technology is so much better now that they can do early detection of lung cancer. They're targeting people 55 to 77 or 80, depending on your coverage. And the idea is if you've smoked 30 pack years, so that's either one pack a day for 30 years, or a lot of people smoke two packs a day for 15 years, or you know, however that equation works out. But the exciting thing is, as we talk about all the different kinds of addictions people have, the exciting thing is that physicians know that if they can catch lung cancer early, they can cure it. They can save people. So I just wanted to throw that out there as kind of my PSA for the day, that for people who are trying to figure out what the safest route is, or were smokers and are concerned, I just want to say Saved by the Scan. The American Lung Association has more information on its website. Super helpful. And I just feel like it's something that really will save lives. I also think it's important for people to set up primary care somewhere, because you can talk to your doctor about changes you're seeing, and don't wait until, you know, you're sick and you have to go to the ED or the ER. I just think that that's another important part about this, for adults and teens to have a doctor that they can have real frank conversations with. And I know a lot of people don't want to tell their doctor everything, and especially 15-year-olds don't want to tell their doctor anything. But if that relationship is set up and is a good mutual relationship, I think that that really also would help benefit both the teenager and the adult. And then again, the Saved by the Scan from the American Lung Association, I think, is incredibly life-saving information.
Thank you so much for that. I remember when there used to be, I think it was November the 11th, they used to have the Great American Smokeout every year. So
yeah.
Is that something that's still in effect, having that one day in November where people are asked not to smoke?
Absolutely, and I don't know what day it is this year, but the interesting thing, I feel like, that's not always gotten out there, they say, oh, it's the Great American Smokeout, you know, and that's the day you're supposed to kick your habit forever. Well, that's overwhelming to a lot of people, right, because that's their habit. But the interesting thing is you could approach the Great American Smokeout as one day where you just don't smoke. So they're not, it's basically day by day, right? So try it for one day. See what happens. I'm sure you'll be grumpy and your friends might not love you as much at the end of the day, but for your health, they recommend just try it for a day, or make that your anniversary as the day you quit smoking. So again, I just think it's super valuable information.
Thank you so much, Leslie. I have to say, all of the great conversations that we have here on KKFI regarding health are courtesy of Leslie Carto at Truman, and she's been my go-to person and helped find so many different people to talk so on different subjects that people have asked about. So all the shows are definitely in regards to her efforts to go out and find speakers. So I definitely have to say thank you to her. And it's about improving one's health, and doesn't matter where you're at, everything is a start in the process. So we've got another caller on line one. Rick, are you still there? Can you tell us what part of town you're calling from and what your question or comment is?
Yes, calling from Independence. A comment.
Yes. You still there, Rick?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, a comment.
Okay.
I find it very sad, very saddening, that America is the only country in the developed world that puts dangerous products on the market to see what happens, and then we regulate them later. And I mean, this is really saddening. It's shameful. And it's shameful that our government allows this. It's shameful that our local health department does not speak out against it. Where's the common sense? Our city council in Kansas City should have this outlawed by now. It's a scam. I smoked tobacco and I used vaping to get off of it, and I suffered more damage from vaping than I did from tobacco. It's dangerous. It's destructive. It puts chemical burns on your lungs. It should be illegal. It is stupid to allow this and not speak up. And Katie, you need to speak out. You should be telling people, I haven't heard you say once, don't vape. And these kids are destroying their lives. We don't know what the long-term damages are, but I do because I've been there and I've done that. It's dangerous. It's destructive. And they're fortifying these with tobacco, with nicotine, to get kids addicted. And then when we outlaw vaping, they'll turn to cigarettes. We've seen this scam over and over again. It's corporate America buying out the FDA. They own the FDA. The FDA doesn't work for the people anymore. So we have to be independent thinkers. We have to be smarter than our government is. The council needs to outlaw this. And the next thing coming around the corner is they're going to pump up our kids on marijuana. I've been there. I mean, I've never smoked it. But I've seen friends die from it. It's even more dangerous than vaping. Marijuana is. But the truth is not out there, and people need to get online and start investigating for yourself. And again, our city council needs to make this illegal before our kids are addicted to marijuana. We'll have car collisions like you can't even imagine with kids with potheads out there running people over on the road. I've seen it. I'm from the 60s. I've seen what marijuana does. And they're already fortifying. They made it legal in Jeff City where you can fortify marijuana 10 times over, more powerful than it was back in the day, 60s and 70s. So again, anybody with common sense needs to get on the airways and say, stop this, make it illegal. We don't want to destroy our kids. They're having a tough enough time. Corporations are exploiting our children from the time they get on, from the time they see a television, from the time they eat junk food in their baby food. Our kids are being exploited. I'm fed up with it. And Katie, you need to speak up and speak out or walk out of your job. Because you're not doing the job you should be doing. You should be telling people no.
Thank you so much, Rick, for those comments. So if you give us a call on the student line, if you 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So one of the things I wanted to, one of my notes I want to talk about, in 2018, the Surgeon General declared that e-cigarettes had reached an academic proportion among youth, sparked by a 78% increase of use among high school students over a one-year period of time. Couple this with the fact that vaping devices can also deliver marijuana without the telltale odor. Of high school students using these devices, one-third reported they had vaped marijuana. Katie, as we start talking about this, and we start looking at legalizing marijuana, is it time to begin to regulate these devices that can deliver marijuana without the telltale odor and the different things that have on our youth impact?
Yes. Well, it's hard because marijuana is still not legal at the federal level.
Still a class one federal tier drug.
Right. So it's hard to pass regulations for it because it's technically illegal at the national level. So, and if I could just respond back to Rick's comments, I so admire the passion that you speak, and I so agree with you. I will say it again, please do not vape. It's just not health. We don't know what it does, but we do know that it has had some really terrible impacts on people that have tried to quit smoking and our youth. The age range of deaths has been from age 17 to 75. So this is something that's impacting all people. And I think, too, if I could just plug our public health organizations that are out there for the state and for the country, we need all the support that we can of decision makers and policy makers to help us with our communities, help us monitor and track these illnesses, help us educate the residents, and work with us to tell people that this is not good for them and counter the big tobacco companies. Right now, Missouri has some of the lowest, I think the lowest, public health funding. Yeah, and there are big, big money in big tobacco, right? And there are at least, I think, 12 lobbyists at the state level that are from big tobacco. So we're having a battle here, and right now we just don't have the resources and funding that we need to counteract big tobacco.
And I would definitely suggest to Rick that maybe he go to speak before some of the youth organizations, because sometimes our students, what they see on TV is what they see in that minute. But seeing somebody that happened to them down the road who's been down that path, you know, that may be a greater persuasion to stop somebody from starting to vape or nicotine, because he can discuss his different things. So, you know, just a matter of getting in front of some youth and saying, you know, this is what vaping did to me. You know, I tried to get off the cigarettes. I got hooked on one. I tried to use one to get off the other, and then I'm smoking more than the other. So sometimes a good example can be a powerful persuasion to stop somebody from doing that.
Yeah.
So as we start closing out here, are we seeing more vaping among those under 18? And could this be possibly tied to those who may have parents who either smoke or vape?
Yeah, I think, well, we are seeing higher numbers of youth smoking. I think the number went from like 3 million in 2018, and now it's up to 5 million in 2019. That's a huge increase. Yeah, and I think it is. It's an observed, learned behavior, and so we can be good mentors for our kids and not do it ourselves. And I think that will also have an impact. But I will say the reasons that are the highest based on some national surveying of kids is that it is flavors. Like, I think that's the second highest reason that they try it initially.
And electronic cigarettes or vaping was essentially marketed as a smoking cessation tool and to help people quit, stop smoking. But they have not been received by the Food and Drug Administration as smoking cessation devices. And a recent survey found that more people who intended to use e-cigarettes to kick the nicotine habit ending up continuing to, as Rick said, do both traditional and e-cigarettes. So something that was marketed to be lesser, didn't have the stigma and the smoke and everything else and the smell attached, actually ended up getting more people hooked just by your numbers. You said we went from 3 million to 5 million, so we've almost doubled. You know, are e-cigarettes helping to get a new generation hooked on nicotine as big tobacco begins to look at, you know, they've had the tobacco settlements that didn't include e-cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
So now they're looking at, well, there's a new way to get, you know, as for every person who's a smoker that dies, they're not, well, we've got to find a new person to replace that person. So is this a way to get people, young people, hooked on nicotine at early ages, with early age, with the cotton candy, you know, the bubble gum flavored, all those different things?
Right. Yeah, I think, well, we know that Altria has shares in Juul. So, and that Altria was Philip Morris. So that's one of the big tobacco companies. So that says a lot. Yeah, I definitely think that.
As we talk about vaping, what are some tips to discontinue vaping for those that really want to stop, you know, and quit smoking? What things can they do to stop vaping or smoking?
Right. So, again, just become educated about what it is you're putting into your body. In those e-liquids, there's all kinds of contaminants, metals, there's toxins like arsenic and formaldehyde. So for me, it's just one of those things, like if I know what I'm ingesting and it's a toxic chemical, that might shy you away from it. But of course, there's that whole addiction piece to it too. So there are resources out there. Smokefree.gov, if you go to their website, they have resources for youth and adults. American Lung Association is a great organization that offers all types of programming, free from smoking programming. So there are organizations out there. There's also the Quit Line. So I think 1-800-QUIT-NOW is the line that you can call and get some directed help there as well. Ooh, and there's also smoke-free text, and you can text QUIT to 47848, and you'll get some tips on how to quit in text form.
There's also Nicorette gum, the Nicorette patch.
Yeah.
And some of the methods to help control cravings, such as chewing on bubble gum or sucking on sugarless hard candy. Keep items like carrot sticks, cinnamon sticks, straws, and toothpicks handy to put in their mouths when they're craving that e-cigarette. But also having something like a stir around to roll between your fingers when you're having that craving, because you're accustomed to holding that cigarette or that e-cigarette, can also help. So, and for those that are tech savvy, there are free apps available to help people quit, including QuitStart, NCI, QuitPal, and QuitGuide.app. So you can not only find it in online, but you can definitely, you know, like I said, go to thefederalgovernment.gov. Can people call your office if they have questions about, you know, e-cigarettes, different things, to get more information? If you can, also get that information?
Yes, they can. We don't have a tobacco specialist on staff right now, but they are welcome to call the Jackson County Health Department, and we can try to refer them to some resources.
So do you have any online resources on your website, maybe, possibly, that can help people and possibly give out that website?
Yeah, not currently. The Department of Health and Senior Services is working on a campaign right now on education for vaping, and local health departments should be getting some of those resources soon. So we'll be hopefully having that on our website soon.
Okay. I would like to thank Katie for being our guest, and also thank Leslie for calling in. So we never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. This Tuesday, 1119 at Brush Creek, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., there's going to be a job fair. They're looking for people for the Prospect Max, J.E. Dunn, and also Kansas City, Missouri Solid Waste will be looking for laborers and drivers, for people, those that we couldn't live without, those who pick up our trash. And these are jobs that pay above a minimum wage, folks. So definitely check it out. Saturday, 1119, from 8 to 4, and like I said, J.E. Dunn, Prospect Max. The Historic East Neighborhood Coalition, for those that live in the Midtown, meeting is going to be Friday, November the 15th at the Hink, and the meeting begins at 10 a.m. The location is Central Christian Community Church, 3801 East Linwood Boulevard. And they're accepting applications for the Mayor's Christmas Tree. So if you're looking, if you know someone, giving out gift cards this year, if you know someone that may need help during the holiday season, as we all do, have them put in an application for the Mayor's Christmas Tree. They're doing it at the Morehart Center right there at Linwood and Woodland, and they're accepting applications on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, so you can definitely put in for an application. There's going to be a crime prevention and awareness prevented by Kansas City, Kansas Police Department, and it's going to be November 18th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. and November 19th from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. So they're going to be able to catch people that may be working evenings and those in days. Classes will be held at the Unified Government Neighborhood Resource Center. That's 4953 State Avenue, Kansas City, Kansas. Food will be provided. You can RSVP with Andrea Grunux at Livable Neighborhoods, and that's 913-573-8737. And the Kansas City Municipal Court is having a conversation with the court this Saturday at Southeast Community Center from 9 a.m. to noon. So if you've had questions about the Kansas City Municipal Court or want to come out and give your opinion, please come out this Saturday, and it's going to be at Southeast Community Center, 9 a.m. to noon. They will have a light continental breakfast for those to come in out. So for Cowtown Conversations, been your host, Joseph Jackson. Have a great day, and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.